For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
Before there was facilities, the girls usually just go to the bush or wear some private behind the buildings and so forth to get changed. Or most of the times, they just return home.
The menstrual cycle functions the reproductive system, and that is how life comes about. And so when we women and young girls really understand that, we get to really value ourselves.
Here on Sisters Let's Talk, we believe in addressing taboos, especially the ones that are impacting our health. And one of the biggest taboos for women in the Pacific is menstruation, periods. Poor menstrual hygiene can lead to urinary or reproductive tract infections, and if they go untreated, they can increase the risk of cervical cancer. But the taboo is stopping us from talking about the best way to manage menstrual hygiene. It's stopping women from living the best lives each month. And it even impacts a girl's education. So it's time to confront this taboo head on. I'm Natasha Metten. Sisters, let's talk about menstrual hygiene. And Shelley Karavis, social enterprise Queen Pads in Papua New Guinea, is tackling menstrual hygiene on two fronts. First, by supplying women with reusable pads, and second, by educating them about the healthiest way to manage their period each month.
It was born out of a personal challenge. When I left work, I wasn't financially stable, and so the need for access to sanitary pads every month was always top on the list. And, you know, there was financial constraints and accessing or affording this, even just a packet of pad. And over time, when I was good, like my personal need was met with having some reusable sanitary pads, I was wondering, you know, how other women, especially those who are unemployed, how do they manage themselves? And that's where Queen Pads was beginning to look into their needs, more specifically around access to decent sanitary products due to the financial constraints. And of course, we began to inform and make various information, you know, it's still very sensitive around the talk on menstruation. So we began to educate and inform women and young girls that we were encountering since 2018, particularly started in Port Moresby. So we were visiting communities, and I think that's where we began to realize that that's what we will do as an organization whilst we are producing reusable sanitary products. We will also educate.
Speaking about educating, how important is menstrual hygiene?
Oh, it's highly important now. Over the years, we've begun to see the gap, which it's more clearer now, where women, we think they know, but when it comes to this very sacred aspect of life, women still do not know how to manage themselves with the right kind of practices, especially when it comes to the hygiene aspect of it. And we find it very, very important when we look at the overall health and well-being of a woman. As you know, menstrual hygiene, when we look at the poor menstrual hygiene practices, it directly impacts the very organs that supports and bring life into this world. So we see this as very important.
And what makes menstrual hygiene difficult for women and girls in PNG?
There would be a number of factors. The first one that we've identified is the barrier would be like the access to such information that we give. There's still a lot of shame and taboo, you know, stigma around this topic, and the sensitivity as well to just talk about it openly is still very present. And that makes it really difficult for women and even the younger girls to be very comfortable to have access or source or find information around menstrual hygiene or even menstrual health. And then, of course, you know, when we look at the cultural aspect, there is still barriers there that women and young girls cannot be able to easily access information. So for us, it's access to information. We believe that when we know as women, when we know, we will be able to make adjustments in the type of practices that we do when it comes to managing our special days. Then so that's where we try our best to start the conversation, fill in that gap. And as long as women know, we're satisfied. And then just other factors would really be around the environment, where they live. Do they have clean water access? It's just all these other aspects that would contribute to challenges of menstrual hygiene in general.
And how do the products that you make promote menstrual hygiene?
With regards to our product, because it's reusable, definitely clean water access is one of the main must-haves. And so we don't just go and distribute. We understand that there will be challenges if they do not have access to clean water. From our end, we've taken it upon ourselves now to say, look, if we're giving out pads, we don't just give them out without explaining, providing them, you know, a guide as to how they should manage themselves when it comes to using pads like queen pads. And so we always ensure that there's a session, an information session that follows through after issuing our pads. The pads don't directly impact menstrual hygiene or menstrual health over, like, in general. But the good use or proper use of it would definitely make a positive impact on women's overall health.
You've visited more than 150 schools across 17 provinces to raise awareness of menstrual hygiene practices. What makes you passionate about that?
I understand personally, like, I understand the challenges, and for me to basically be in the forefront and just having those interactions with the women and girls and understanding their needs. And I think that what really drives me is when we hear the responses that we get from women and girls that we interact with. Especially when they're able to openly talk about what their experiences are, or when they get to really appreciate the pads that have been distributed to them. Yeah, and then just following through and still receiving those positive feedback from students from primary and secondary who are now in tertiary and still using their pads, like in university, for example, and still using the pads that were issued, you know, back in secondary. Like, that brings so much joy, knowing that what we're doing is really having an impact on women and the schoolgirls.
What are some factors that make it hard for the girls to practice menstrual hygiene when they are at school?
They don't go to school when it's the time of the month because of the shame and stigma that's still very present. And with the cultural beliefs and practices, they respect that. And so they do not, most of them do not go to school unless they've got like something to use. If it's not a pad, then they stay home. But if they're by any chance have access to pads, then it gives them that confidence and they still go to school. It's the fear of, you know, shame and stigma if they do stain their uniforms or their dresses or their skirts.
And have you seen more men getting involved in the topic, breaking taboos?
I'd say 7 years ago, that wasn't evident. Like it wasn't, you can't really hear much. But since we started rolling out our programs and just getting people involved, volunteers involved, we feel like men are beginning to come out a lot stronger now. They get involved as volunteers in our programs. The most satisfying part of it is when they raise their hands to literally lead a session. Like that is a huge, huge achievement in itself, just getting men, like seeing men raise their hands to lead the sessions. We've been seeing that happen within our programs. In terms of just attending our sessions, our awareness sessions, it's optional, especially when we go to workplaces. We see that women are always there, and then the men would ask, like the male staff would ask, are we also allowed to attend this session? And when we get asked, we're like, you know, it's optional. And they, the response that we get is that, oh, you know, I'm a husband. I've got my wife there. I care about her. I want to attend this session. Or I'm a father. I've got daughters. Mm-hmm. And so those are very positive responses. So far, we've been seeing men getting to attend our sessions, and even men-led organizations within communities that we collaborate with. They understand that this is very important for, especially like schoolgirls within their communities. So like they say, you know, we're going to coordinate on the ground and you guys come, let's collaborate. And, you know, that's the kind of collaboration approach that we've seen worked for us. And we really want to strengthen that. So definitely men, educating men is very, very important, but we do not force it upon them. It's optional.
And do you still get comments about menstrual hygiene being a taboo topic and should be kept private?
Yes, we do. We do receive those, especially, you know, when we are visiting a particular school or a community for the first time. Those are some of the questions that we receive initially. And then, you know, when we start having to explain, oh, you know, this is why we want to have this session or this conversation with women.
And
when they recognize the importance being women's health and over like the overall well-being, they tend to really, really appreciate it. And they said, oh yeah, that's right. You know, definitely. I think this is important to conversation to have here. But yeah, we still do encounter such questions. And you know, that's a really good opportunity. Then it doesn't stop us. It's like, oh, this is, that seems like, you know, it's a chance opportunity for us to explain to them the importance of what we do and bring them to our side, win them over. So then we can start having those conversations.
Finally, what's the message you want to get across to women and girls about breaking the taboo of menstruation?
Well, the key message to women and young girls, not just in Papua New Guinea, within the region as well, because we're part of the Pacific Menstrual Health Network and beyond, you know, as women and young girls, we need to recognize, first of all, who we are, what makes up a woman, and understanding the menstrual cycle and its importance. And the menstrual cycle functions the reproductive system, and that is how life comes about. And so when we women and young girls really understand that, we get to really value ourselves. And so for us at Queen Peds, we always ensure that we recognize women as queens. And it's not just saying, oh, you're a queen and that's it. It starts from within. It's understanding the importance of us as women, or it is through our reproductive system that we're able to bring forth life. And so that makes us very unique and special. When we recognize that, then we're now being able to prioritize our menstrual health and hygiene and practicing good menstrual hygiene. And so
My message to women and girls right now is that you're special, like you're a queen, you're special, and your special days matter. We do respect our various cultural beliefs and practices. It's prioritizing, recognizing the right kind of practice that will enhance a positive overall health and well-being. And within our communities where we are currently present, whether in school or in our communities or in our workplaces, let us be open to having such conversations and just being that person to be able to give support to another woman or a young girl who might be going through some menstrual challenges but still ashamed to reach out for help.
That's Anne Shirley Korave, the founder of Queen Pads.
You're listening to Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
As well as stigma, one of the biggest challenges for girls when they get their period is the poor access to facilities to change their pads and keep themselves clean. These are called WASH, or water sanitation and hygiene facilities. But in Solomon Islands, a program has been rolled out called Wash in Schools, which gives students access to toilets with showers and hand washing stations. The Wash in Schools program also educates students and teachers, including the men, about proper menstrual hygiene. This is being done with support by UNICEF and the Australian government. Elise Mataki is the Chief Education Officer for Solomon Islands, Central Islands Province, and she has been overseeing this project.
We have this challenge in schools where menstruation, it's like a taboo issue in schools where we get that taboo, you know, we learn it from the community.
I see.
What I mean by taboo is we girls don't get to talk about it openly in front of males. And it's even more taboo when it comes to male relatives. And so, you know, it's a big challenge in schools. And so when we have facilities that get to address the menstrual hygiene, it is a big impact for us. And you get to see girls attending school more compared to when they have menstruation, they get to, you know, sent back from school, back home.
Elise, tell me about the training you're providing through the WASH in Schools program.
The WASH training that we have, we are giving training to our stakeholders of our school about what is menstruation, what is menstrual hygiene, the management of the menstruation, and also usage of the facilities. And because of the taboos that we have in place, it's very important that we have to, you know, openly talk about me as a female, as well as my other colleagues who are also female. We have all female in my office. And so we are involved in the training. And like us talking openly to our school leaders, like most of our school leaders are males. And so when we get to talk openly about menstruation, managing it, during the trainings, it's like an eye-opener to them that it's okay to talk about it openly. And it is, they get to understand that it is a critical and an important issue to deal with at the school level. Now that we have girls, good number of girls are attending school. Mm. So it's not only females that get to talk about menstruation only, but the male teachers who are mostly school leaders. So when you are a leader, you have to openly talk about it, or you have to talk about it as a leader to manage girls, that to ensure that they don't miss school, they don't miss their learning because of menstruation.
And how many schools have been able to participate in your region?
So in Central Province, we have a total of 30 schools that are receiving the training, and we have a total of 26 that are receiving the infrastructures. The schools are receiving ablution blocks where they have the toilets for the girls, toilets for the boys. And they also, in the girls' cubicle, they have a separate space where they can manage menstrual hygiene, where they have a shower and where the space where they could change and so forth.
And what about menstrual hygiene products like pads? Are they being supplied also?
After our training, we have been encouraging our school leaders that whatever funds that you have, there will be a change in what you purchase for the schools, and you have to include sanitary products for the girls to use at school rather than sending them home because they have to manage themselves at home. Now it's time that you have to, you know, manage the skills, girls at school, especially when they have their periods, you have to provide. So we have stories from some school leaders that they are providing the products at their schools for the girls when it comes to their periods.
That's really good. Stepping back, how does the taboo around menstruation lead to poor menstrual hygiene?
Like in the past, the practice we have was even during birth, females are separated from the main village. They build, you know, leaf huts in the bush, and that's where it's done. And, you know, that's similar to menstruation as well, where when girls are having their menstruation, they are isolated from the rest of the family. And so the taboo went on up until now. That mentality has been with us, and up until today, when this was training comes, we see that we are trying to advocate for a change in how they look at menstruation.
And is it difficult to break down those cultural barriers?
During the WASH training, when we had activities, even to define menstruation, we chose males to participate because we want to see, we want to ensure that we break the barrier. That's the common saying that we use during the training. So we use males to participate in the activities. When we give them questions, and even with the question of defining menstruation, you can see the awkward feeling that these male teachers and the male community members have when they are trying to define the word menstruation or the word period. It's because of the taboo, because we have female participants in the group.
I see. And how are you educating the male teachers about periods and what girls need during their time of the month? What do you say to them?
During the WASH training, even during our school visits, when it comes to WASH, we tell them that as educated people, we as teachers, we are supposed to be role models in breaking this barrier. When we male, we talk about it, it gives a message to others that it's not only for women to talk about it. As teachers, we are looking after female students and not only male students. So this is part of our duty to ensure that we attend to girls when they're having their menstruation. So even like when girls are having their periods, when they go to see teachers to excuse themselves, especially the male teachers, they would say, I'm sick, can I be excused for today? When actually it's just because she's having her period. So we are trying to encourage them that you have to have openly, even though you would feel awkward addressing it, but you know, slowly over time, maybe you will get used to and know how to deal with our female students.
Are there other people in the community who need this education, like parents or other community members?
Definitely. Like the WASH training is only targeting the teachers and the school board members who are community members, not all of them. But I see that there needs to be awareness to go down to the community level so that they can support our girls as well. Like, for instance, when girls are having their period, they can come to school and, you know, get the learning. But some parents, we see that seeing that they're having their periods, they don't encourage them to come to school because they don't support them in managing their period so that they be able to attend school. So that awareness really needs to go down to the communities as well.
And how has WASH in schools helped to reduce stigma around menstruation for the girls? And how does it make them feel better about managing their periods?
That's a good question. Like stigma, some girls, they tend back to, you know, they get to tend back because we have girls, students traveling by canoe, even walk hours to school. And when they get stand skate, they are teased by the boys especially, and they get to miss school, stay home until their period is over. Then they return to school and, you know, they are absent. They are not getting any education during the period they have theirs. And with the WASH facilities that are in place, they get to, you know, have a space where they get the privacy. They have private places, space where they get to, you know, change themselves, manage themselves, and return to classes. Before there was facilities, the girls usually just go to the bush or wear some private behind the buildings and so forth to get changed, or most of the times they just return home.
Elise, you mentioned teasing by the boys. Is there education or training for boys on menstruation?
We have trained the school leaders that this need to be done at the school level, where teachers need to get to understand it first before the students. So we have advocated to the teachers that please, you have to have sessions with the boys, including the girls, to know the menstrual cycle, when they'll be expecting the next period, so that they come prepared. The boys, they need awareness to know also the menstrual cycle and, you know, the impact that it can have on girls when you tease them, when you see them have period. And what we are telling the teachers to tell students is that the menstruation or the period is not a sickness. It is a natural, God-given process where without the process, the population wouldn't exist. We wouldn't exist.
I know you're not a doctor, but can you say what health issues arise from poor menstrual hygiene?
When menstrual hygiene is not, you know, properly attended to, you know, it can cause discomfort to girls. They can have like cramps, and girls don't get to understand why they're having those. Sometimes it can lead to further serious diseases if they are not attended to properly. And with the running water and all the proper facilities that they have in place, and getting their pads changed regularly at the right time, I think that will help to reduce health risks that they could come across, especially like even CA, like different types of cancers that can be caused when girls are not cleaning themselves or managing them properly when they're having their menstruation, like getting changed when it's full rather than having the same pad for the whole day, cleaning up, using water. When they do not have these facilities, they can wear pads or just don't clean up properly and they change to another pad and so forth for the whole day or until end of the school.
How about attendance? Is that improving?
Yeah, it is improving attendance. Now the girls, they get the spaces to, you know, get changed when they know that their pads are full. They have the space, they have the privacy, and it gives them confidence. And they get to improve their attendance as well.
In the long term, how big an impact can this facility have on girls' life and her education?
I think that, like, the students now, they have experience not having the facilities and having them in place, and now they are using the facility. And I think they would tell the difference with not having it and having it, the comfort and the discomfort of not having the menstrual spaces. So maybe in the long run, you know, they would advocate what they have gone through, when even some girls, they would even miss school and not even coming back because of the stigma. So the students now that are receiving the facilities, they would be the pioneers of, you know, the people that would tell us the difference between not having and having the facilities in the long term, and pass the message on to the next generations.
That's Elise Mataki, Chief Education Officer for Central Islands Province in Solomon Islands. Thank you to my guests today, Elise Mataki and Anne Shirley Korave. I hope you weren't too squeamish listening to this episode about periods, because the more comfortable you are talking openly about menstrual hygiene, the healthier you and your daughters and nieces and aunties will be. Sisters Let's Talk is presented by me, Natasha Metten. Our supervising producer is Kim Lester. Our executive producer is Faleanga Fulu Inga Stunzna. Sisters Let's Talk is an ABC Radio Australia production. We acknowledge the Yagara, Turrbal and Darumbal peoples on whose land this program is produced. Amtasol na lukimu next time.